Welcome to an emergency Relatively Football podcast. Excuse the train going on in the background. I live near the tracks in New Orleans. It is very early Friday morning. Me and Flo, my sister, are not missing a beat as we react immediately to the draft last night in Louisville, Kentucky. It's just about to go 8 in the morning in New Orleans. Flo, how are you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit disappointed in myself, to be honest, because I'd hyped myself up. I got really excited about staying up for the draft. I thought I was going to do it. I thought we were going to do a really funny live reaction pod.
Could still be funny in the morning, but...
It still can be funny the next day, that's true, to all the reactions. And then by about sort of 9:45, I was just feeling so tired. My eyes were feeling so tired. So I texted you saying, I'm not going to make it. We'll have to do it tomorrow. Send me any funny bits. And then when I went to bed, I actually couldn't really get to sleep. And I ended
up... You had that just, draft excitement going, running through your veins.
I had draft adrenaline. Crazy case of draft adrenaline. And then it got to the point where I thought, oh, I might as well just stay up. And I thought, should I just... I looked at my phone, it's about 9:45. And I thought, should I just stay awake? Anyway, eventually got to sleep, woke up, opened my phone and opened Twitter and thought, geez... What a night. Oh, what a night by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons played as I stumbled to the bathroom to brush my teeth.
Definitely the best expansion draft I've ever watched live. It was pretty out there. I think it's a strange event. Jesse JPH, who along with Craig Hadley and Rich Laverty was a nice kind of trio of UK people who managed to stay up into the early hours to watch it happen. They would have all seen it was kind of strange proceedings. It wasn't too flashy. It was quite low key, you know. It's basically people sitting at
low budget. I watched it on Twitch today. I watched the whole thing back and it was low budget.
Yeah, which I appreciate. I mean, these aren't
I liked it.
Times for pomp and circumstance. This is a time for, you know, getting on a laptop and announcing at a small kind of IKEA podium that this player will be maybe coming over to Kentucky. So I appreciated how kind of low key it was. Laurie Lindsay and Marissa Pia do great jobs for CBS at hosting it. It was also really quick, which I think we weren't expecting. I think I told you maybe a lot about 90 minutes and it ended up being under an hour. So that was kind of surprising.
Yeah, there didn't seem like much thinking time.
No.
It was like, these are the ones we're doing. It's not like when I've watched other US sports drafts where, and also the college draft, where you've got, you know, teams trading and still evaluating based on the picks. But obviously there's none of that because they've had time to prepare, so they can just go in.
Yeah, and after it was
say,
all
bang, bang, bang.
Finished, Meg Linehan confirmed that all the players had been told 24 hours earlier. Because there was a lot of chat about, and we'll get down to it kind of now, about how we wondered, players in England, did they know that they were going to be drafted? Because obviously, you know, you're finding out at midnight in Manchester that you're meant to be in Kentucky come January. And Meg confirmed that everyone had been told ahead of time that they were going to be drafted. So that kind of maybe meant a lot of the players weren't going into it watching the, you know, the Twitch stream with bated breath. Although I suppose maybe if you hadn't been picked by Louisville, you were worried you were going to be. But let's get down to it, Flo. What jumps out to you? What was the most surprising pick in your mind? And then maybe we'll move on to some unpacking some of the more complicated stuff.
I think you're instantly drawn to the big names. We all know that,
and there are big names.
Press... Yeah, huge names.
I wasn't
names.
Sure. I posted a mark, and I wasn't sure there were going to be this many big names.
We all know that Heath and Press sort of move as a package. So once Heath was picked, you could guess that Press was going to go too. But I had forgotten that they hadn't been protected. So that kind of was surprising. And I guess the real question is, even though they were picked, are they even going to go? And that's the same for quite a few of the names, which also stood out, which is the Caitlin Ford as well, which I know is a big one for you. These players that they've selected who are kind of in limbo, really. And when I did scroll through Twitter this morning, very few people thought that, especially Press, and I guess Heath as kind of part of that, automatically were actually going to end up in Louisville. They were very skeptical about whether they would turn up and play for that new team, especially with the rumors about them wanting to play together in California for Angel City, which seems to be everyone's, you know, desired location. But I don't know what you think about that. Just remind me what, you know, maybe why they weren't protected in the first place, because I've sort of forgotten that.
Portland is an easy one. Portland have too many good players. They can't protect them all. So they had just
But
traded.
She's arguably the best.
Yeah, but she's 31, 32 years old. And excuse the train, I live by the train tracks.
Tobin Heath's train on the way
Tobin Heath's train, the hype train is really, it's on its way to Kentucky from New Orleans right now. Yeah, Tobin Heath is, you know, she's a Portland Thorns legend. And I think my heart goes out, if we were looking at people who are coming away from last night feeling the most emotions, it's going to be Portland Thorn fans who are losing a legend. But they have Lindsey Horan, they just traded for Crystal Dunn. You know, they have Becky Sauerbrunn as well, who wasn't protected but is a little bit older than Heath, and definitely people felt like Kentucky would avoid. And you can't protect all your players, and they have a slightly younger, maybe higher ceiling players that they had to protect. So Heath was always going to be available. Utah's slightly different because Utah, for lack of a better word, are a hot mess. They are currently trying to sell the club. Kelly O'Hara is another U.S. Women's National Team net player there who apparently wants out. Kristen Press apparently wanted out before the start of this season, wanted to play with Tobin Heath. So there's kind of been a lot of chat about that anyway. So the Royals were kind of daring Louisville to take Kristen Press by not protecting her, even though Kristen Press is their best player. But I think for anyone who doesn't watch the NWSL, it's important to know that these U.S. players don't always play that many games. Megan Rapinoe,
that's true,
even in non-Olympic, non-World Cup years, only maybe plays 6 to 10 games. So sometimes these best players, they're not necessarily core pieces in your team. The same actually cannot be said for Heath and Press, who, when they're fit, have actually played a lot more for their clubs than Rapinoe. But I think you've got to remember, it's an Olympic year next year. It's COVID. They have contracts in the UK for at least for, you know, until May. I think this was a real surprise move for a team that, at least in 2021, are not going to have these players around. So Portland Thorns, who maybe want to win the championship in 2021, weren't going to have Tobin Heath anyway, so there was no point in hanging on to it. And likewise, Utah, whatever happens there with the ownership, the new manager, they probably knew they weren't going to have Kristen Press in 2021. So I think you've got to think about it that way. In the short and the long term, these were two players that weren't necessary by their clubs. It's also important to remember that there's going to be another expansion draft in 2022 with Angel City. So you talk about protecting players and shuffling pieces. You're going to have to protect players again in a year's time. And I think that's where the selection of Heath and Press comes into play, because Louisville knew they weren't... there's almost no chance these players will play maximum 5 games for Louisville next year. If you look at their schedule with United, and then you look at the Olympics with the United States, should the Olympics take place. So you're really looking at these players aren't only going to come to the club and feature and be, you know, a big deal in 2022 anyway. So at that point, maybe Louisville just taking them so that they can flip them for more, for better players, for more cash, whatever it may be. But you have to think that Louisville basically are either planning on having a better team in 2022, or they're planning on flipping these players either in 21 or 2022 for better players in the long term. But it's a long term thing for Louisville. Maybe you sell some shirts and tickets in the short term. Maybe Heath and Press play 5 games next year. I think that's the only way to read it, in my opinion. There's going to be a lot of people talking about it. It's definitely the big talking point. But I think it's just important to remember, like, the international women's schedule for next year, COVID, their contracts with United, the way US players are held in the NWSL is very strange. Like you said, they want to play together. Do they want to play together in Louisville? Excuse me. Time will tell. I think this
getting emotional.
I'm getting emotional, really emotional just thinking about it. I think the interesting one is Caitlin Ford, because for me, it's almost more surprising. I think there'd been whispers before Meg Linehan broke it on the night that Heath and Press were going to go to Louisville. There'd been whispers about that, but I did not imagine a player in Caitlin Ford who is not on loan in the WSL. She's signed to Arsenal, who didn't necessarily have any nods, or unlike Alana Kennedy, her Australian teammate, who, you know, is only signed until December with Spurs, like Rachel Daly, like Rachel Causey, although maybe Causey has extended her deal. But there are a lot of players who basically shuffle around the world to, you know, the Australian League, to European leagues, to America. Caitlin Ford seemingly had made a permanent move in January to become an Arsenal player, a bit like Hayley Rasso at Everton, same thing. Who, you know, Hayley Rasso's quote-unquote rights are still with the Portland Thorns, I believe. Or maybe the Washington Spirit. I can't remember. Her rights are owned by another team if she ever returned to the NWSL. So you kind of get this problem with the way the NWSL is run, where the clubs don't have that much agency. They're kind of beholden to the players a little bit more, in the same way that, like, Heath and Press, you know, their salary is being paid for by the US Women's National Team. So they're not, like, dying to turn out to Louisville if they don't want to play for Louisville. They'll kind of force a trade. So it created kind of a weird narrative on the night, because you saw Louisville, in a way, take the best player available, knowing that at least in the short term, they're not going to have these players. So I think it's kind of hard to evaluate when you look at these big names, Alana Kennedy, Caitlin Ford, and Preeth. Although, like I said, Alana Kennedy is slightly different because she didn't necessarily go to the WSL for good.
Of those four, Kennedy, Ford, Preeth, Press, and Heath, which one, or which two, or which three, whatever it may be, do you think will actually end up playing a game and starting next season?
Starting next season in a Louisville shirt, I think Kennedy will. I think it's a weird move for her, looking at how happy she seems in London and having moved to London with Zdorsky and Morgan, who were her teammates at Orlando Pride. It felt like they were like a little trio and they were going to kind of go to London together and then go back to Orlando.
And
together.
With a lot of Aussies in general moving to London, right?
Yeah, Emily
like
Van
it
Eggman.
It seems like a much easier place to manage the Matildas international schedule. And now that there's a lot of Matildas players here, it fits them quite well. And I think it's going to be interesting how the NWSL are now going to struggle to persuade Aussies to come over if they're finding the WSL is a really solid fit for them.
Yeah, and again, it might be 2022 that Kennedy ends up playing at Louisville again with the Olympics next year, or if she extends her Spurs contract. But I do expect Kennedy to be a Louisville player. The other ones, I think, are really up in the air. Christy Holly worked with Caitlin Ford in the NWSL a few years ago. Caitlin Ford has a long history in the NWSL, playing at a really high level, and I think she will come, but I don't know if it will be in 2021.
So what will happen now? Is this going to mean that likely Louisville will seek to probably trade Press and Heath now they've got that ammo and get some similar-ish players or a couple of players from other teams to then boost what they've got in the reality that they probably won't be playing come next year?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. The transfer window opened today. There's going to be the NWSL college draft in January 2021. There's going to be a lot of places where Louisville can kind of test the market for Heath and Press playing rights. I personally, my take, which is not necessarily unique, is that they're waiting for Angel City to enter the party in a year's time when they'll have their expansion draft. And, you know, you could see Angel City trade, you know, the number like top three picks in next year's expansion draft and allocation money and a college draft pick for Heath and Press. You could see something like that back in 20.
But what if whoever's got them protects them and says you can't go, sorry, then what happens?
Well, Louisville has them.
Yeah, so what if when Angel City
No,
comes
I'm saying
around,
that what I'm saying that Louisville will send them off in exchange for stuff.
Right.
Louisville has two national team players, so they're going to protect them in 2022 unless they fancy flipping them. I think
it's hilarious if Louisville just sit and be really stubborn and say, sorry, Angel City, no, all your marketing materials are based on the fact that Press and Heath are going to come and it's going to be California Dreaming, but we're just going to sit on these guys and make them play in Kentucky. Kind of mean, but also really funny, because it would ruin so many hearts in California, and kind of like, you can't just get what you want.
Well, I think you're going to see the NWSL format tested. I think for a lot of English listeners who, like I said, it was really fun having Craig and Rich and Jesse on Twitter last night, kind of like seeing minds blow in real time. I think we're all trying to figure out like what this is, because it's kind of unheard of in England, the idea of, you know, Steph Houghton wanting to play for Man City, but Aston Villa, you know, have the rights to her. So even though she wants to leave and she's not contracted to Man City, she has to like figure out a way to be traded. It doesn't really make any sense, but this is what happens when the US Women's National Team basically have this much power. And it does have its benefits. Like, you know, when you watch the NWSL, it's a really balanced league. You don't see many big score lines. A lot of these national team players are really evenly spread out. But on the flip side, you have stuff like last night, where basically we're all scratching our heads trying to work out, you know, are these players actually going to play? You know, what does this look like as a transfer move? What's the strategy? So it's definitely a head scratcher. I think it's something we won't really see the end of for another year. But it's definitely something to watch, especially with Heath and Press being so visible in the WSL. Any other picks jump out to you, Flo? I think I did that mock, put out that mock draft yesterday, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I only got 4. I got 4 of the 14 right. I thought I got more, actually. But I got 4 of the 14 right. There were definitely some kind of more obvious picks. Alison Merrick, I think everyone had from the North Carolina Courage. She was taken off the bat. She's just really, really reliable, as is Julie Ashley from OL Reign, Jennifer Cujo from Sky Blue, much talked about. I think Louisville have picked up some really nice defensive pieces. I think they're going to struggle for goals. You look at all the goals they would have taken in this draft are Ford, Heath and Press, who obviously are not going to be playing next season. So yeah, it looks like a solid defensive team. Kayla Real from Sky Blue and Lauren Mille from Courage as well is another really solid player. Cece Kaiser, I was chatting with a lot of Dash fans. She's been like a backup kind of utility midfielder for the Dash this season. Dash obviously have such a good midfield. She hasn't really got a game, and she got picked up. And I think she's going to be great in Louisville and really, really will be one to watch.
I think one of the maybe surprises of the night was, apart from the big ones, was the fact that Bixby didn't get picked up from Portland, and everyone thought that was a shoo-in for the goalie.
Or Ekström.
Or at least one of them.
Yeah, or Ekström.
Yeah, because Portland have such a good array of goalies. So what happened there?
Well, it kind of goes, I mean, we're going to sound like a, you know, a broken record again, but it goes back to Tobin Heath. They decided to take Tobin Heath. And if you take a national team player, it kind of blocks you from taking any other players. So they went for Heath, which meant they couldn't take any other Portland players. And this was a real surprise move. I think every single mock draft I saw had either Britt Ekström or Bella Bixby going to Louisville. I think even some people had Adrian French going there. And, you know, this is...
It's just interesting that clearly they don't see the value in having goalkeeper as one of your star players, if you like, because those would have been the names that... I mean, Bella Bixby is one of the most exciting young goalkeepers in the world. I think people are, you know, so excited about her and her talent and her potential. So it's just interesting that they clearly aren't sort of, you don't think that a goalie is someone you want to invest in long term as someone that's going to carry your franchise. Well, and instead they just want someone maybe a bit more experienced, solid, dependable, who's not going to be like a star young kid. They believe there's probably more value in that on the pitch, or, you know, elsewhere on the pitch anyway.
I think it might be a spot to concede the blind spots of, at least I definitely don't know a lot about Katie Lund, who until, you know, Meg Linehan broke the story about Heath and Press and Caitlin Ford got taken, for me the biggest story in otherwise a quiet beginning to the night was Katie Lund being taken from the Washington Spirit, who is Audrey Bledsoe's backup keeper. Audrey Bledsoe is a fantastic keeper in the league, one of the best, and Katie Lund is her backup. And at least on the program, they were saying that she had a fantastic college career at Arkansas and is a young keeper who we haven't really seen in the NWSL who could be fantastic. So I think maybe we have to chalk up the goalkeeper decisions to maybe the scouts at Louisville knowing something that we don't and seeing something in a young keeper who we haven't seen in the league in Katie Lund. And Michelle Betos, who is the other goalkeeper they took, is a really well-known keeper with loads of NWSL experience. So I think they went for like one young, one old, like we expected. It just wasn't the two keepers we were expecting. And I think this will bring us nicely to, I kind of want to talk about the winners and losers of the draft. I don't know if you've got any flow, but I think one of the losers for me was OL Reign, who lost Michelle Betos and in the draft and then had traded Casey Murphy in the Crystal Dunn trade. So OL Reign fans wake up this morning with no goalkeepers on the roster and will be trying to figure out maybe who to trade for. Keep an eye on maybe Steph Lab or Caitlin Rowland from North Carolina Courage moving on somewhere. Or like you said, the Portland Thorns seem to have a lot of keepers to move around. You got any winners and losers from last night, Flo?
My loser is the fax machine at Racing Louisville HQ. It was extremely loud at times. I think it was a fax machine. There was a really loud thing that kept popping up in the background, and that was a real loser for me. Really ruined the experience. So that's my loser of the night.
I think someone was messaging me about the poor quality of the stream and the video, and like how you could hear like runners coughing and like no one was.
They just left the mics on the mics way too long. It was really. It was just a bit awkward.
I felt bad
times,
for Marissa Pia because she. Obviously, no one she was really communicating in her ear, so a lot of the time she didn't know if we were cutting to a break. So she'd be like, "Okay, and we're going to cut to a break now." Actually, I'd like to talk more about Lauren Miller's left foot.
And then there was a moment where Laurie Lindsay was like, "Oh, this is flying by!" Like you heard her still talking because they didn't put her mic down.
It was flying by, though.
And,
I mean,
and then they did make a nice joke of it when they came back. They were like, "Oh, it's really flying by, isn't it, Laurie?"
I give a lot of credit. Yeah, I do think it's kind of a winner and a loser. Like some of the, it was a little bit like rough around the edges, but it made it very heartwarming to me. And I think it's a sign again of like how great this league is and how it's growing and like. You know, this is, it's good to, we have access to this, and that's, the access is so important. The biggest winner of the night for me, though, was Meg Linehan. I think if you were up, if you had been up at 12:30 in the morning last night, seeing Meg break the story, saying her phone had just, she just received the news that Heath and Press had been taken by Louisville. The way to Twitter exploded was just, it's kind of what, I often, when I'm watching football, I really try and like put my phone away and try and focus on the game. But watching the draft, it's one of those things where the Twitter is almost just as exciting as the draft itself. And so seeing Meg break that story and seeing everyone lose their mind was probably one of my moments of the night. And I recorded a little voice memo for you, Flo, but after Heath and then Press was taken, I basically cut off because I was too distracted by Twitter and like, trying to answer a million messages on my phone from people just texting me Preeth. That was probably my biggest winner was Meg, who was absolutely in her element. Anything else, Flo? Or do you think that's a good place to wrap up?
I think that's a good place to wrap up. Obviously, our Women's Football Weekend preview is still live. We've done 3 pods this week. I was just thinking about that the other day.
Too much of us.
Mad. 3 pods this week. So we've got our sort of weekend review that we did on Sunday night. You can listen to that. And then we've got the Women's Football Weekend preview. Listen to that before all the action on Saturday and Sunday. And then we've bloody given you a bonus pod, NWSL Draft Special. And I actually think we should also do maybe a bit of a focus down on Racing Louisville maybe at some point, like a special pod going into, because I was having a look at their head coach who I hadn't heard of before, Irish guy, used to be at Sky Blue. I was digging into his wiki page, so I think it'd be fun maybe to do a little deep dive, maybe once the rosters are a little bit sorted out, once the college draft has happened,
January next year or something.
Do a little deep dive. So yeah, fun little bonus pod for you. And you can rewatch the whole thing on Twitch. That's what I did. And have a look at some of the funny memes and tweets off the back of the Preeth trade, which, went down a storm, as you would expect.
One more thing I want to say before we get out of here. Biggest surprise of the night for me was Bree Vasali Twitter is real. I didn't know it existed before last night, but suddenly it was like all the Bree Vasali fans came out of the woodwork. Bree Vasali was not taken. She was unprotected from the Houston Dash, but they went for Aaron Simon instead, who actually used to play with Bree at West Ham and was in squad goals. So it's kind of a weird pick, which perplexed a lot of the kind of NWSL mafia. But it was,
as in the stands, the Vasali stands were relieved. And they were like, "Don't you touch our girl."
Exactly. The Houston Vasali stands really turned up last night. Even Craig Hadley was chatting a lot of Vasali chat. So I just kind of...
ex-blue, she's an ex-blue.
I always forget. I think of Bree Vasali as like almost like one of these players who just like does what they're told, plugs in, is not very flashy. But she kind of has like a sneaky big fan base. A lot of Dash fans I know were really worried about her going. And I personally never thought she was going to get taken because I think she's a player who really fits the playing style in Houston. And I think if you took her, you'd be unsure. I mean, I don't know anything about Christy Holly really. So I'd be unsure of how she's going to fit into his team. It was just, that was another funny moment, was when Aaron Simon was taken as the second player from Houston and like Bree Vasali Twitter just exploded and was like blowing memes off and GIFs being like, Bree's a Dash. I was like, all right, yeah. Anyway, Flo, thanks for getting me up early, and I'll see you Sunday or Monday or something. All right.
Yeah. See you soon. Enjoy Women's Football Weekend.
Yeah, I'm glad you got some sleep. Lots of love. See you later. Bye.
Okay, so just Theo here tonight. It's about 6:13 in New Orleans, and the NWSL expansion draft is just underway. We sort of have a bit of a year six disco look, is how I would describe it. We're in what looks like a village hall or school assembly gymnasium, and you have the Louisville staff sitting around on their computers, and then the CBS crew. It's all a bit awkward, but I think they're doing their best considering the Zoom. And Louisville have come right in and selected Addison Merrick off the top. And we're now moving pretty quick through picks two and three. No surprises here. Laura Ashley off number two and Jennifer Cujo number three. Cujo's been amazing. Obviously expected to go to Louisville in this. The comment section of the Twitch is really starting to light up now. Big no coming in from Balloon Puddle number two. Cujo, says Sienna. Tentacool says, no, not Cujo. Energy in the room is still a bit awkward. Feels a bit like a sort of showroom for a new block of flats. Come your aunt's funeral if she really liked purple. CC Kaiser from the Houston Dash has been taken. Few people didn't have CC down in their mock drafts, but she's so versatile. She's really young. And being from Missouri, she's not a million miles away from Kentucky, kind of, when you think about the geography, and I think Louisville will be trying to get a couple of hometown players in there. She's currently been on loan in Norway and has scored some really nice goals and looks like she's been involved really well in Europe. Okay, so now goalkeeper off the board, not what I was expecting. Ooh, Katie Lund, very interesting. Christy Holly's jumping on the stream. Head coach Holly, we're five picks in. What's he going to say? Both impressed that head coach Christy Holly has managed to follow the routine purple that everyone on this draft from Racing Louisville has been ordered to wear. Compulsory purple, lavender, you really should say. Impressed that he's got involved, but a bit worried. There's a lot of purple on the screen right now. Wow, okay. Number six, Orlando Pride / Tottenham Hotspurs. Lana Kennedy is coming back over to Kentucky. Obviously a player I really like, I know we really like on this podcast, I know a lot of writers really like, played at World Cup. I guess, you know, this is the interesting part of the NWSL and the way they do their player rights. And obviously this player is an Australian allocated player. It's going to fill one of the international spots alongside Yuki Nagasato. Yeah, after the Alana Kennedy shock, Laura Millay's off the next off the post, and you feel like this is a great pick for Louisville. I mean, North Carolina Courage, in short, again, legendary team, legendary coach. They've won everything that you can win in this division. So even a young player like Lauren Millay has come in and been so good from the off. Bit surprised with this one, with Kaylee Real getting taken from Sky Blue. Another one of Sky Blue's many really good young players, another defender. But with Sabrina Flores still on the board, I really thought Sky Blue would have maybe gone for that. Obviously, they've already taken Jennifer Cujo, who is probably one of the best players available in this draft. You pair Millay with Cujo, you've got a great midfield there. Ooh, Caitlin Ford is off the board with the second pick out of Orlando Pride from Louisville. This is a really weird one. Unlike Alana Kennedy, her Australian teammate, she is not on loan. This is a really interesting pick because this is pretty much just for her playing rights. Christy Holly worked with Caitlin Ford previously in the NWSL at Sky Blue, so maybe that's where he's going to lean on that relationship to get her away from Arsenal long term. It's 6:38 in New Orleans. The moon is out and the sky has turned to night. And there are rumors swirling around on Twitter, whispers from Meg Linehan, that Louisville are expecting to take Kristen Press's playing rights should she return to the NWSL and or want to play in Louisville. Excuse me. Meg Linehan has now confirmed that Press and Heath are expected to end up in Louisville. It's interesting seeing the way the draft has turned out. They're obviously Christy Holly and the rest of the Louisville crew are waiting for a little bit of drama here. Tobin Heath is off the board with the 13th pick. And the chat group goes mad. Woo, oh my God, says Andrew. Tobin. Oh, Janlev. Oh, Twitter's blowing up. My cat is getting very disturbed.